For today's scripture, I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 9:24 and Philippians 3:12. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And now Philippians. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Good morning. My name is Mike Pinciotti. I'm an assistant football coach. And I just wanted to say a few words about Brandon. I had a lot of time to spend with Brandon. He and I shared some common bonds. When we recruited him a few years ago, I didn't really obviously know who he was coming from Norwin High School. Brandon Lewis was just a name on a sheet and kid that was coming here on such and such a day. I got a kind of a surprise when he got here with his dad, Howard, who I knew was Bucky. And Bucky was my youth football coach. He and my dad coached together. They were very good friends. And he had brought him up here. Bucky grew up in Beaver County and was interested in having his son come to school at Geneva. We spent a lot of time together that day, Bucky and I. And the last time I'd actually seen him was in 1990 at my dad's funeral. So there had been some things that transpired in that time. Bucky had cancer. Brandon was fighting cancer. So we had a good talk and renewed a lot of bonds and relationships. And from that point, Brandon and I started to spend some time together. And my memories of Brandon, our celebrations, Gabe, wherever you're at, I appreciate you so much saying that. I am not one who mourns loss when I know that a loved one or a friend is in the presence of Christ. I know what Brandon went through here on earth. I know the fight that he fought. I knew what happened to his body, and I know he's perfect right now, and he's with the Lord. And I find great comfort in that. I find great comfort in the fact that he doesn't have to do chemo. He doesn't have to have tubes in his body. He doesn't have to worry about the drugs making him jittery. There were times that I visited him in the hospital and, you know, he hated that. He would do this constantly because of that. And he couldn't wait to the day that he got off them. And he's off those now, praise the Lord. So I rejoice in Brandon. And I've learned a lot of things from him. And, you know, one of my nervous habits when I get nervous is I pull my phone out and I start flipping through my contacts. Just when an awkward pause happens in a conversation or something. And I actually did this a couple days after he had passed. And you look at his number, and you know you're never going to call it again. And your first thing you think is, well, I'll just erase it. Well, I decided not to do that. I'll keep his number in here for as long as I live. Because every time I flip by and see B. Lewis, it reminds me of him and reminds me of who he was and reminds me of his character. And we always like to say when we recruit character first. And Brandon had strong character. He was a man of strong character. And, you know, the thing that Brandon, one of the things that Brandon taught me was that life is what it is. And there is adversity and there are things that are going to happen. You can't really do anything about that. You can do things about the way you approach it and the way you handle life. He hated the cancer. He was afraid to die. He wasn't a man who was going to stand up as a Hollywood would create a man and say, this doesn't scare me. But he knew that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior, and he repeated that to me at almost every conversation. He knew who he was. He knew where his strength come from. And I can tell you that he loved Geneva. Not Old Main, not the gym, not the cafeteria. To him, Geneva was you. Dean Smith, it was you. Ken Carson, it was you. Football team players, it was you. Geneva were people to him. He loved Geneva. In fact, I know he told Bill, good buddy of his, Bill Somko, only a few days before he passed, I'm going back to Geneva. I feel great. I'm going back. And when I get that phone out and I see him, that's when I realize, you know what? I'm Geneva. It's how I act. It's how I present myself. It's not the buildings. So what am I doing? What am I doing to promote Geneva? What am I doing to carry on his legacy? When his dad took a turn for the worst, they sent him home with hospice. Spring term, his freshman year, Brandon went home, spent about a month to 6 weeks at home with his father. His biggest concern was, I don't know if my dad's going to heaven. And he called me, and we talked about it. He came to my office, we talked about it, we prayed about it. And he called me, I believe, on a Thursday night. He was pretty upset, pretty incoherent. I actually had to get his sister Brittany on the phone to ask her, you know, what's the situation? How long do we have before your dad passes? She told me the weekend. I called Coach DeMarco, and we had a bunch of recruits coming in the next day. He says, you got to go down there. You know what you got to do. You got to go do it. So that morning, I got my car. I drove down and at Brandon's request, and we sat and we spent a good hour or two, the three of us. We watched an old movie on TV, just talking. And at the end of that time, I looked at his dad and I said, have you made peace with the Lord? And he says, no, how do I do that? So we prayed together. He accepted the Lord. And I looked at him and I said, you know, Buck, somebody did this for my dad 16 years ago. Now I'm going to do it for you. And tears came down his eyes and his face lit up. And he accepted the Lord. And Brandon told me when we went down to the funeral that was one of his last conscious moments. Okay? So the Lord's in control of everything. I firmly believe that. And I know the Lord was in control of Brandon's life. He allowed that to happen. Brandon allowed the Lord to take control of his life. And he was courageous enough to go up to anybody at any time and talk to him. You know, at Steeler camp, he got his picture taken with him. Van Zanuck tells a story of him approaching Dan Rooney and saying, would you mind taking a picture with me and Mr. Rooney, the owner of the Steelers, where most of us would just stand there in awe of his presence. Well, Brandon, he knew what was going on in his life, and he knew that he's just a guy just like me, you know. I think when you get in that position, you are no longer a respecter of persons. You just understand what life's all about. I think he had a great understanding of what life was all about at that point for him and what his mission was and what he was going to do with the time that he had left. And Coach DeMarco actually took him to media day last year at the beginning of our season. The conference that we play, the President's Conference, has media day. And you usually take your senior captain and you introduce him and talk about how great he is and the media. They interview him the whole bit. Well, Gino chose to take Brandon, and basically when he had introduced Brandon to the media, they all swarmed at him and forgot about everybody else's players and forgot about WJ and Geneva and Westminster and the whole bit. And Brandon kind of took over the show. And then they took him to camp, and he got to meet some of the players, and Coach Wisniewski was with him, and he introduced him to his good friend, Tunch Ilkin, who was a 13-year pro and now does the Steeler broadcast. Well, they kind of hung out all day, and towards the end of the day, Leo, Coach, had to go somewhere, and he said, you know, I really need to be leaving now, Brandon, so, you know, I can take you home. Well, Brandon wasn't ready to go, And he told Leo that. And basically, Leo then asked Tunch, would you mind giving Brandon a ride home? And Tunch said, yeah, sure, no problem. So we all, or not we all, I wasn't there, but the rest of the staff left. And Brandon stayed, and he stayed with Tunch Ilkin. So as the day goes on, Tunch says, you know, Brandon, I have to speak at this men's retreat tonight. And he said, would you like to go with me? And Brandon's like, yeah, sure, I got nowhere to go. I got nothing else to do. Why not? And then he stops, he goes, no, wait a minute. You're speaking at a men's thing? He's like, yeah. He goes, well, what religion are you? And Tunch decided to have a little fun with him. He says, well, you know, I'm from Turkey. I was raised Muslim. He says, I'm Muslim. And Brandon kind of stood back and went, I don't know if I can do that. I'm Christian. I don't think I can do that. And at that, Tunch kind of laughed and said, I'm just joking, I'm Christian too. And they went, and he went, and he spoke, and Brandon was there, and then he took him home afterwards. I mean, how many of you would do, how many of us would have the courage to do something like that? But again, Brandon, you know, he knew who he was and where he was going. So as I think of him, I will always think of him fondly. Obviously, I know all you will too. But I will think of the courage that he had, the type of person that he was. And this is what I would challenge you with as students. When Brandon went home last spring to be with his dad, again, it was about 6 weeks. He missed 6 weeks of the semester. After the funeral, after they got everything straightened out, he came back. He had missed 6 weeks. Now think about that, because you are right in the middle of your semester, or towards the beginning of it. 6 weeks of classes. He finished the semester with 3 A's and a B+. And he was ticked off because he got the B+. And I was like, I got one B+ in 4 years of college, and you're mad? You know? I got an A in gym. Think about that. Everything that he did with all his heart. He dove into his history. He dove into the Bible. He dove into every class that he was given. And he worked hard. He had papers to make up. And when I think about Geneva, I think about the professors who worked with him, the timelines and the time frames that were extended for him. I think about Dr. Watt going to visit him in the hospital, what made a huge impression on him, huge impression on him. I think of Dean Smith and Gabe going to the funeral home to visit as representatives of the school. That's what I start to think about when I think about Geneva. He absolutely loved Geneva. It changed his life. And I will tell you that if you allow Geneva to change your life, it will do so. And I'm not pointing a finger, I'm telling you from experience, we all have bad days. There are always days that we question what's going on. That's when I'm pulling the phone out and I'm pulling up his number. That's when I'm looking at him and saying, this place has changed my life already as an employee, and will continue to do so as long as I allow it, and will continue to do so as long as you allow it. We always have an open door policy in our program. Our guys know they can come in and talk to us at any time. Brandon certainly took advantage of that. I challenge you guys to take advantage of that. You won't get yelled at every time you come in, Danny, but you know, things will happen. But Brandon is a great example of love to me. He loved us, we loved him. I rejoice in his salvation. I rejoice in his completeness and his wholeness. And I ask you to do the same thing. I appreciate your time and attention. I know Coach DeMarco is somewhere in this room, and I'd like to bring him up now. Thank you.
I had something prepared to share, but as I walked into my office today, on the seat were two shirts in 70 cards. And these two shirts were signed by students of Geneva College at what was the most successful blood drive we've ever had. And when I look at the names on these shirts, they're not all athletes. In fact, some of the names don't even know who Brandon Lewis was. And as I open these cards and I read these cards, the day that you all wrote something, messages such as, I don't know who you are, but I do know what it's like to suffer. I'm praying for you. God will be your strength. Wishing you all of God's blessings. Brandon, you're an inspiration to us. May God comfort you today. These were written by you. God bless you, Brandon. Keep fighting. The truth is, Brandon's whole, he's complete, and at 6'3", 285 pounds, as a junior in Norwin High School, he looked as good as anyone in a football uniform. But this dreaded disease came and ravaged his body. And when you would visit him in the hospital and see him fighting, I truly tell you, I had to ask God, this isn't the way the script's supposed to end. This is supposed to end like this, God. You brought his dad in here to Geneva, as Coach Penn had said. People, that didn't happen by chance. Nothing catches God by surprise. I need to tell you personally, this may have been the greatest example of God's providence I've ever seen in 17 years as being a head coach, and probably 25 as being an assistant and a student here. That God would bring this family to Geneva. That his dad now is resting with the Lord. That Brandon's with the Lord. And for us as a Geneva community to support this young man. And some of it was unconditionally. People really don't care how much you know. And you know what the saying is. Until they know how much you really care. And when I read these this morning, this is a place that's built on God's love. And that's what I would encourage you as students. They'll know us by our love. Because Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And the love that's in us is obviously from him. So at this time, I would really like to, Britt, if you could come forward, I'd like to give you these cards. And I'd like to just thank you for allowing us to be part of your family. We had an opportunity to witness something as a community, as a football team. We helped be part of we were a very small part of what these two gentlemen did in North Huntington. And when I tell you that I've seen very few greater examples of love than what Bill Sombo and Joe Hart put together in North Huntington, when they got all of Westmoreland County to rally and do what was basically an extreme home makeover for Brandon's home when he came back from his bone marrow transplant. If you have any questions, I'm sure it's online somewhere. I think we'll make it available when you see the transformation that happened in that community. But I'd like to have these two men come forward and receive these two shirts with the signatures of the students from Geneva for that blood drive. Come on, fellas. Bill was assistant fire chief in North Huntington. At Brandon's funeral, there were 45 fire trucks that showed up. Joe was his high school football coach. The reason I'm wearing this shirt today is because number 84 should be sitting right there. According to my plan, it's 6'3 and 285 pounds and ready to get going for next season. Because that's the way it's supposed to be, right, God? But when I think about my own idea of how things should be, the scripture that says my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. God orchestrated this whole thing, brought this family to Geneva. I played for his dad when I was about this high and had no idea who he was till he showed up that day. The other reason I'm wearing this shirt is because Troy Polamalu, some of you may know him, and I'll give you a great visual. I want you to look at this bald head and the word antithesis. I want you to think about the word antithesis. He has streaming locks of hair. He's probably the most popular Steeler because of the way he plays on the field. More so the way he carries himself off the field. Brandon met him. Troy stopped everything he did. Bill arranged it. Troy became very good friends with Brandon. Prayed with him on a number of occasions. And when Brandon was laid to rest, instead of wearing a sport coat and a suit, Brandon had that shirt on right there. A lot of people look at Troy as a hero. I'm going to wear this. And what he taught me, I will never, ever forget. Geneva, thank you.
I have to admit that when I walked into that funeral home, I have never seen so much Troy Polamalu stuff. There were blankets. He was wearing the shirt holding the Troy Polamalu autographed football. And for those of you from Massachusetts, wearing his Boston Red Sox cap as well. The reason we have a memorial service is not simply because somebody died, but it's because they lived. And because their life has impacted our lives. And you've heard that testimony from the coaches especially. But as we think about Brandon's unexpected death, or as Coach said, his unusual death in terms of the timing, this is not the script we would have played, it's appropriate that we seek our comfort and hope from the same Lord that he did. The scripture readings that we had emphasize running and finishing in order to gain a prize. When I was talking with Gino and Mike, they were talking about one of the drills they have is called running through the line. We got people shaking their heads. Oh, yeah, right? The emphasis this morning is on finishing well. Brandon's life was tragically shortened. But he finished well. His focus was on the goal of the prize to which God had called him in Christ. And to obtain that prize, Brandon had to run through the line of adversity, multiple loss, and disease. And he could have easily become a victim of his circumstances. But he did not. He became a victor through Jesus Christ. When we think about suffering, we often think of Job. And when Job entered his intense suffering, his wife said, "Well, just curse God and die." But Job had different responses. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." How did Brandon make it through all that chemo and all of those other things, and really then get blindsided by something else that was somewhat unexpected? And yet trust the God to whom he had given his life. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin, my flesh has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." And that's what Joe Bucci was talking about with the resurrection. You put off this body, but at the return of Jesus, we get new bodies. And Brandon's hope was not just that he would be with Jesus, you know, floating around in the clouds or whatever, but that he would, with Jesus, return to the earth to experience then a life with no pain, no more death, no more sorrow, together with all who trust Jesus. Now, there's a lot of things I don't know about that future consummated kingdom. I don't know if there's football, but we can hope, right? I was hoping there were motorcycles, but somebody said no because they pollute, so all right. But I want you to know that we would fail to honor Brandon's memory if we did not invite you to share his faith and his confidence in Jesus. That was his passion for his Father, to be sure that his Father knew the Lord. And Coach Mike had the opportunity to lead him to faith in Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And the way for Jesus was through the cross, and it's because of the cross that we can have a relationship with the Father, because only the cross can deal with our sin. And in the Bible, we find that oftentimes the death of a loved one or friend, that in dealing with that, attention is drawn to those who remain. In John chapter 11, Jesus' good friend Lazarus dies. And when Jesus comes, his sister said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he doesn't say what we would expect, and Lazarus believed that. Instead, he says to her, "Do you believe this?" That was her brother's hope. But Jesus didn't want to simply talk about the faith of Lazarus. He wanted to encourage, actually both sisters, about their own faith. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me shall never die." That's not only the comfort we can have in Brandon's death and in Brandon's faith, but Jesus would ask us to look at ourselves. And based on what the Bible said, I want you to know you can have an assurance that when you die, you will spend eternity with God. The Apostle John says, "I write these things to you who have believed in Jesus, that you might know that you have eternal life." And if you don't know that, it would be Brandon's great wish and our great wish that you would come to know that. As I look over an audience of this size, I know that in the next 5 years, even some of you who are young may no longer be with us. Will we be able to have a memorial service confident that you died knowing Christ? Or would it simply be grief because we don't know what the outcome is? See, our desire is that when believers gather at the last great day after Jesus' return, that you would be more than merely a fond memory, but that you would be there celebrating with us. And so I urge you, on Brandon's behalf and on Jesus' behalf, If you've not come to Christ, come to Christ, that you might have hope in this life, though you may go through adversity, and that you may have hope for the life to come. Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for what is in many ways a hard providence. These are not easy things. But what you promised is that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. And we thank you that we have that testimony from Brandon. Or as we sang in Psalm 73, that you hold us by the right hand, and that afterward we will see you in glory, and we will get to share that. Father, press that upon us. In the midst of our grief, give us hope, give us the presence of Jesus, and drive us to him to find comfort, to find salvation, to find the hope of eternal life. We pray in his name. And now receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.